You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm just going to do a little bit of losing my mind.
Okay, cool. All right. Sounds good.
The sun comes up. I think about you. Coffee cup, I think about you. I want you so, it's like I'm losing my mind. Hey,
what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried out Built for the Stage yet, go to the website, builtforthestage.com, and you can be on your way with a $1 trial for your first month. And you'll also unlock a 20% off discount code for our new Places Please performance line. Leggings, sports bras, sweatshirts, shorts, all the goods. Check it out, builtforthestage.com. Special thanks to our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right, as always, we have an exciting guest for you on the podcast. I actually ran across her at the book launch for When the Lights Are Bright Again book, and I was listening to her do a cover, I think it was of Company's, I don't know, I'm blanking right now, she's making me nervous, she's such a star, she can tell you what she's saying at the event, but I was listening, right, and I was like, oh, this is different, and then she put out a couple bells and whistles towards the middle, the end of the song, and I instantly became a fan, so let's just get to know our guest. We'll chat all things musical theater, folk, singer-songwriter. Please welcome to the pod, Ellery Ward. Hi, Ellery. What's up?
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's a pleasure. I hope you had a good trip coming back from Philly. We just discussed I'm here in the mountains of North Carolina, but we're still staying true to all things Broadway as we get to meet Ellery a bit. So tell me, okay, so is it being alive? Was that what you sang at the...
Yes.
Okay,
it's yes. Kind
of, okay, it came back. I went into
I knew you had it. I knew you had it.
I went into the white room for a second, and I just lost all recollection of what happened that night. But yeah, okay, so acoustic version of being alive with all the yodels and soulful folk, everything that there was to it. I was just like, damn, this song though. So tell us how you got, first off, tell us how you were like, let me just pick up a guitar and totally change the sound and feel of a musical theater song. When did that start happening?
It is so kind of dumb. So in 2019, I was in the middle of audition season. It was like late February, early March. And I had been just jokingly telling people every time they asked me in an audition how I was doing, I would respond with, well, you know, every day a little death. Because that's what it feels like in the height of audition season. And thus kind of like manifested that song just in my brain at all times. And so I had it stuck in my head. And what I do when I have songs stuck in my head is I either listen to it obsessively or I cover it and I sing it to get it out of my system. And so I decided to do a cover of Everyday a Little Death. And at that point, I had just kind of sort of been playing guitar for like 2 years, I think. And I just took the couple of chords that I knew and made it this moody thing. And I captioned my Instagram post Sufjan on Sondheim, because I'm a huge Sufjan Stevens fan. And it just sort of like sparked this idea. And my friend commented saying, you have to make this a series. And I did. And over the following 2 years, I just sporadically made these arrangements just out of having fun with it. And yeah, it's turned into something that I never expected it to.
Mm-hmm. When did you first pick up the guitar? Because you're quite good.
Well, thank you. I feel like I'm terrible at it all the time. I think it was like the end of summer, like 2016, I think, is when that began being a thing in my life. I'd always played piano prior. And I've never taken a lesson, and I have no idea what I'm playing ever. I just learn everything by ear, and I arrange everything by ear. Like I know a handful of chords, and that's kind of it. But it's just been, speaking of winging it, we were talking about winging it before. I am winging it with the guitar every day of my life.
Yeah, so I'm extremely inspired, even more so than before, because I own two guitars, actually. One in which is a very nice guitar that my friend bought me, who is a very talented guitarist. And I shamefully cannot play either of them. I have two.
It's hard.
So you would think if the first guitar didn't work out for me, maybe the second one would have been luckier. But no, we just are amazing decor within my house. But so from ear, yeah, for me, it was, I had some chords, got some chords down. And then when I got to the F chord and you're having to bar, I was like, F this. I just can't get this shit. I can't
get it. I get it. My boyfriend plays guitar, and he's the one who kind of like pushed me to learn bar chords. He literally was like, you have to. Like, if you're going to play guitar, you have to do this. Like, push yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And so my hands always hurt. but it's worth it, because it definitely opened up my musical vocabulary for sure.
Yeah.
But like, it's hard. Guitar is so hard.
But it's worth it. It's worth it. There's a metaphor somewhere in there about your hurt hands and playing guitar.
Yeah, somewhere.
Let's
poetic.
All right. So let's go into, you have a couple of gigs lined up. I counted three. There's one in Florida. There's one coming up that I said I hope I can see on the 13th,
mm-hmm.
December.
Yeah.
Tell us those three gigs you got coming up.
Yeah. So I have on December 13th, I'm playing Rockwood Music Hall. I'm playing all my original stuff, and it's going to be so fun. I haven't ever done a show like this before, and I'm not accompanying myself on every single song, which is like, I can't wait. It's going to be really fun. It's $15. It's just going to be a big old dance party. So if that's what you're into. yeah. And then on the 19th, I'm playing with Davon Williams. He's putting on a benefit concert, benefiting Black Hair and Makeup Artists United. I think it's a $25 cover, and tickets go on sale for that tomorrow, December 1st, at Don't Tell Mama. It's going to be really fun. I'm singing a Christmas song, and then I'm also singing another song with Davon. I just announced today I'm doing Joe's Pub on March 2nd, which I'm thrilled about. I'm going to do a full indie folk Sondheim set. My friend Brian is going to be on piano. I'm going to be on guitar, and I'm going to have some really fierce special guest stars joining me on some tunes. And then on April 7th at Free Fall Theater in St. Petersburg, Florida.
I'm
playing a Sondheim show there. So it's just going to be me and the guitar, very simple and stripped back and intimate. And
yeah,
I'm excited.
All right. So I'm going to get all of that info from you. So if you're listening, it's going to be in the description of this episode right now. So there will be links and all the dates that were just listed. I want to talk to you a bit about imposter syndrome or winging it. So you have these four gigs lined up, right? And you're still a little, I guess, new to being this performer in this, not musical theater, but it, with your guitar up there, just doing your thing.
Yeah.
How do you combat that? How do you work with it as opposed to having it work against you? How's that been for you mentally?
Honestly, it's been a really cool learning experience because I'm someone who has always struggled with performance anxiety and nerves, like majorly. But therapy is awesome. So there's that. So I've definitely accomplished a lot in the past year in terms of using certain tools and, getting better about.
Give us one or two. Give us one or two. What has your therapist or what have you taken that's like, oh, these one or two things like really helped me out?
So we do, EMDR together, and it's if you don't know what it is, it's basically like connecting your mind body connection in a way where physically you are tapping in one form or another while visualizing certain things and tapping it into your body, so that when you tap into that thing in the future, it's just conjured up as a resource. I'm probably explaining it really terribly, but that is the gist of it. And all the resources that I've tapped in have been a huge help for me when dealing with pre-show nerves or anxiety or doubts and worries and stuff. And it really has changed my life in the way that I prepare for performances. And my first performance, I think it was like September 13th, was my first performance in over 2 years. So, I mean, 2 years without performing, one of those years being a pandemic, like I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And then I had all these other shows lined up over the course of the following months and was just sort of overwhelmed of like, how am I going to get over this? And it has helped so much. And I've seen so much growth in, I mean, it's a practice. And practice makes forever imperfect, but, you know, better, better than before. And, it's the repetition and the being kinder to myself and really allowing myself to be arrive emotionally wherever I happen to be. That has been also the biggest thing for me. If I'm feeling a type of way and I'm doing a performance, that's how I'm feeling. And that's what I'm bringing to the space. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, everyone that's listening nowadays that are making their way back to auditions, I'm sure that'll be helpful for sure.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, so with your gig coming up and the Sondheim, Mr. Sondheim, Stephen just passing, what does that mean to you? And what a like coincidence, you know, that you would have released this album and this would have happened, you know, in this same time
period. It's really weird. I mean, when I found out the news, I was so emotional. I think like all of Friday night, I just couldn't stop crying. And it was super weird. Speaking of imposter syndrome, I had like a little bit of imposter syndrome, even just like with my emotions around it, because I was like, I don't know this man personally. Like I know he had listened to my album, but we hadn't talked about his thoughts on it. And I never met him. And so I was like, why am I this emotional over this? And it's like, because his music changed my life, as he did so many of our lives. And it also, on the flip side of it, made me feel that much more responsible as an artist, because as artists, we are all responsible for being the vessels of writers' work. And that that artist's responsibility really just like ignited in me, in terms of like, if my album is the one thing that one random person hears of Stephen Sondheim, and that's how they know who he is, like, I just feel really invigorated by that, because I love Sondheim. And when I love something, I just want to share it with everyone who knows or doesn't know. It was both invigorating in that sense, while also being incredibly sad.
Yeah. For me, Sondheim was an Into the Woods VCR tape in seventh grade drama appreciation class.
Oh.
And that musical kept popping up for me throughout my career when I was in theater. But yeah, like you said, I as well did not know Sondheim personally. But just like you said, if someone listens to my song and then is connected indirectly to him via that, I think that's the name of the game. Like, there shouldn't be any type of feelings of, oh, I shouldn't be this emotional that this is affecting me like this, because because in a way, like, we do know him through our life experiences that he directly impacted via his art. And there's so much that ties into someone that makes an impact like that. So I'm with you for sure.
Yeah.
Let's get into what you think about the balance or the dance between continuing your career in musical theater, but also doing this gigging or this pursuit in your singer-songwriting career. I know that the road is still kind of fresh for you, but how do you see that in the future of how you're going to kind of balance this dance?
Well, I feel like I have just been going where the doors have been opening. That to me is just like how you live life. You go where your path is clear. And these gigs and the Sondheim album have been huge green lights for me. And it's like, well, if these are the green lights, they're going to lead me to where I'm supposed to be. And everything is a stepping stone. It's very much a snowball effect. As an artist, like, our careers are this very nuanced, complex thing where everything builds upon each other to lead us to where we are meant to be. And I just feel like this part of my artistry and my creative voice being heard in the way that it is just a part of that journey to being where I want to be. I mean, with this album, I've had more opportunities pop up than I ever have before in musical theater, which is what I want to do. My goal is to create a leading role in an original musical on Broadway. And it's all intrinsic. It's all connected. And so I'm just going with where the green lights are.
I love your very specific goal of being a leading role in an original musical on Broadway. If you're listening out there, that's like textbook 101 right there. You're not getting anywhere without a plan. And if you're filled with anxiety or lack of hope, most likely your plan could use a bit more detailing. So I love that from Ellery for sure. How are you such an entrepreneur with this, like, I'm looking at your website right now with your merch and your Perfect Little Death CD. Like, how did you set this all up? Like, did you minor in business while you were at Boston Conservatory, right?
Yeah. And no, I know nothing. I just go like, okay, what are all the routes I can take to like get myself out there and like maximize my like output, you know? What are all the avenues I can take as an independent artist and as an actor? Like, there are so many ways in which you can monetize your craft as well as just give yourself more exposure. I mean, I don't know.
Why are you doing it and others aren't? And why are you doing it so well?
I don't know, but I'm flattered and honored that you think so, because I'm just trying to think of everything that I can think of. That's really all it is.
Do you think it's just a matter of taking action?
Yeah, I think so. Because I do know this about myself. I'm someone who doesn't really think much before doing things. Like, I don't really stop myself from doing things. I just, if I think that it might be a good idea, I just do it. Uh-huh. And if I fail, then literally who cares?
So a lot of people, I think, aren't like that because of the fear of failure or the fear of what their peers will think of them. Do you just naturally not have that? Or how do you kind of work through that if you do have that?
I kind of naturally don't have it, but obviously I am a human being and I have my own insecurities. And I think whenever those insecure thoughts creep in, I really just think about, well, we have one life and one chance in the present moment to create the future of our lives and our careers. And it's like, I'm going to do everything I can to get myself to where I know I want to be. That might be this, it might be that. It's all an experiment and we'll see what works, but you won't know what works or what will bring you to the next place unless you do it.
Sure.
I like
it when it said, we're all going to die as far as you only get one life. And when people say it that way, we're all going to die. It does stir something up in me. Like, yeah, I can't waste another minute here. Like, I gotta.
Yeah. I mean, that's why, if you ever listen to Carrie and Lowell, the album by Sufjan Stevens, 4th of July is one of my favorite songs. And I remember when I played it for my mom for the first time, cause like I was super obsessed with it when it came out. The whole ending, like outro part of that song is, we're all gonna die, like over and over again. And my mom was like, this is so depressing. And I was like, no, it's literally just true.
Yeah.
It's not even depressing. It's just true. It's like actually inspiring to me that's a fact. So what you do with the time that you have, like no one is going to do anything for you. You have to do it yourself. Like you waiting around for someone to tell you yes, it's probably not going to happen. And if it does, then you're really lucky. I feel a sense of responsibility in taking action in my own hands, because I know no one's going to do it for me.
Do you have a little intrusive question? Do you have a regret or a moment when you didn't abide by these kind of standards you're setting and you kind of kick yourself for feeling like you missed a door to walk through?
I don't think so, but kind of on the same plane. I have always struggled with thinking the way that I think, maybe a little bit too much. And then when I allow myself to rest, I guilt myself and thinking that I'm doing what you're asking me, even though I'm not. I'm literally just taking the time, because our destinies are self-created. Like we choose the things that happen in our careers. Obviously, when it's out of our hands, things can happen that we don't expect. But overall, we choose the path that we set foot on. And so if a part of that path is taking a break, then that's a part of the path and it's supposed to be that way. Like there's just no reason for guilting yourself for choosing the next step in the path that is of your own making.
Yeah. Okay. Love it. Going back to the dance party, you said it's going to be a dance party. Your next, your gig this is the one on the 13th, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At, where is it at? Stage Rockwood Music Hall, stage 2. Yeah.
Yeah. My friend Sam is going on at 7. She's opening for me. And then I'm on at 8 and I'm going to do an hour set of, I write pop music. It's very different than my Sondheim stuff, but it's still me. It's still my voice. And it's just another part of my expression as an artist and as a singer.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to bring up that one in particular, because I thought I heard you say that they'd be your original pieces.
Yeah.
So with this pop vibe, how does this kind of come out of you in comparison to when you're figuring out an arrangement for a musical theater cover?
Oh my God, it's so weirdly different. So when I'm writing, it just sort of, the one thing that is the same, I will say, is I don't force anything ever. I let the sounds and everything just like come to me organically as they are meant to. But when I'm writing, it's more of an emotional thing, than anything else. I could be in like the most neutral state and make a Sondheim arrangement if I'm feeling inspired. But when it comes to my own music, it's very much from an emotional place, and I kind of have to be in the heat of the moment when it comes over me. But that's also why I love it. It's like magic. You never know when it's going to strike, which is always exciting and fun. But yeah, I've always written music, and I just let it happen when it happens, and I don't get down on myself if I haven't written a song in X amount of time. It's just what it's meant to be.
What do you mean by you've always written music? How long has it been?
Well, I started with piano lessons at the age of 5, and I wrote my first song at the age of 5 on piano. It was called Springtime, and I debuted it at my my piano recital, my first ever piano recital.
What is it about? Is it literally about springtime, or what was it?
I don't know. I was 5. It was probably just like, this sounds like flowers. I don't know. But from literally that time to now, I've always written music. Obviously, I've gotten better at it, we can hope. But it's always just been this alternate way of expressing myself, in definitely a more personal way, obviously, especially when it comes to like the stories are my own, and I don't write from other people's perspectives. I really only write from my own. It's different than any other part of my artistic life, and I think that's what I love about it. It feels like my own little secret artistic creative space, you know, and then I just get to share it when I want to share it.
Cool. All right. Well, everyone that's listening, if you want to write some fan mail into Ellery, I would say write to her and say, please write a remake of Springtime and let's hear what it sounds like 20 some years later or whatever.
Oh my God.
You think you have that in you?
Exactly. There's that. I'll have to dig around my childhood home to find the sheet music, because I know I wrote it down on sheet. My piano teacher wrote it down on sheet music for me. So
there you go. You got to reach out to her. You got to reach out.
So yeah, I know my mom had to have kept it. She's that kind of mom.
Of course, cool mom. No doubt about it. My mom and dad's basement is like a storage room of like a shrine of my upbringing.
Yes, if that's the way to be.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Ellery, thanks so much for joining us. Everyone that's listening, great branding by Ellery. Her Instagram is who would have guessed it? Ellery Ward. So amazing. You can check out her website, elleryward.com, where there's the merch, the music, all the stuff about Ellery that you can learn. And obviously, just check out the description of this episode, and we'll have easy, clickable links for you to kind of surf around and get to know Ellery more. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
City on fire, oh, city on fire. And if I never hear your voice, my turtle dove, my dear, I still have reason to rejoice. The way ahead is clear, Joanna.
All right, everyone. Ellery Ward on Built for the Stage podcast. Thanks again for joining in. If you haven't gone to builtforthestage.com yet, would love to get to meet you, chat a bit about your fitness, your time on the stage, just talk about anything. Maybe we can listen to Ellery's music together or something. So if you like the podcast, rate, subscribe, leave a comment, and we'll see you on the next one. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.